Welcome, you guys. I need y'all to really listen to this now.
When you got more than man, seems like it's never enough. And what do you say when your wings turn away? You're alone. Tell me, what do you give when you're feeling you're all out? Seems like you can't make it through. Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Just after you've done all you can, you just stand.
Just stand.
Tell me, how do you handle
the guilt of your past?
Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile while your heart has been broken and filled with pain, the wicked. Tell me, what do you feel when you're giving your all? Seems like I can't make it through. How do you just stand when there's nothing left to do? You just stand and watch the Lord see you through. You just have to rely on all you can. You just stand and be sure you're not entangled in the bondage of your grief. You just stand. And God has a perfect, yes, God has a plan. Tell me, when I've done all I can, and it seems like I can't make it through. Child, you just stand. You just stand. Through the storm, back through the rain, through the rain, through the pain, don't you fail, and don't you fail, don't you fail, don't you fail, oh no. Oh,
I'm a little wimp at times, so forgive me, because when I talk about God, I get a little happy. So, and through this session that I'm getting ready to do, if I feel like I want to cry a little bit, don't feel sorry for me. Remember who y'all met years ago and who I am standing before you today, because this is going to be a little bit deeper. It's going to be a whole lot realer, but it's going to be you knowing who I am now through the life that you guys met me as. I'm not going to go through many questions today, but I want to welcome everybody first. Miss Kiki, Miss Cheryl, Miss Brown, Mr. Denson, Miss Harris, Miss Dorsey, and anybody else who comes in right now on this episode. There are so many things that I want to say. So that's why I did Born Again Version, so you can know that I'm born again, not in my body, but my mind, my spirit, and my health. But then I have to share things with you guys, because for so long, it seemed like people just knew me for going out to Steve Harvey, but they didn't know who the real Essie was. So some of the things that I share with you is a way to address those factors as well. Oh, thank you, Red Cross. Thank y'all. But I'm going to address something Miss Kitty said, and then I'm going to get right into it. Miss Kitty said, I came up live yesterday on Storm and Rose podcast. I like Storm and Rose. There's nothing about Storm and Rose that I don't like. The only thing I didn't like that he's associated himself with Tasha K. And I put Tasha K on the map, and she just got straight disrespectful to the point that she didn't respect herself, that she dogged everybody in the process. She never said that Essie Berry, I'm going to dog people. She said, I'm going to use my platform to help you like I help Mary and help other women. That's who I thought Tasha K was. So I kind of pulled away, because at that time he was affiliated with her. But I think Storm Rose is a fantastic person. I don't know him personally, but I liked his aura. I loved his persona. I just didn't like Tasha K kicking it with him. So y'all can pass that back along to Mr. Storm Rose. And there was a lot of things that was rushed up under the rug about Steve Harvey. But I chose to just stand still for a minute, because God is in the Word. But through this whole Born Again Version, season 1, 2, 3, and how many episodes I do, it will all relate back to when I was stalked by Steve Harvey in the beginning. But I have to give you who I am to show you where I'm going to lead to later on. But just allow you to know that I don't play games. I have nothing to lie about. And when I went after Steve Harvey, there was a lot of people throwing each other up under the bus. So I kept this because it didn't matter to me. But am I going to reveal it? Yes, I am. Make sure y'all see where that's from. That's my address now, so you can't get to me from that address. But that address is Steve Harvey's attorney. Steve, how about you ask Ricky, what did he send me in 2017 on these three pages that never have been revealed? Because I wasn't trying to take you down. I just wanted you to let people know that you were a liar, and that he said I was a co-conspirator and extortionist. And if a person will lie up to that magnitude, of course I'm going to build a case against you. So this is a letter that Steve Harvey, attorney, trying to clean up the mess in 2017. Geneva never revealed it. Neither did I. And it was registered to the Essie Berry. So it doesn't matter what was sealed. This was sent to me. I just thought I'd let you know that. So Steve Harvey's not done with me, because he still had me in a case in Texas that I've never been in. And he's trying to have me arrested. He's blackmailing me for something I didn't do. If there's a warrant against my arrest, I don't care. Because if I ever get arrested, everybody from Steve Harvey to the judge, Ricky Anderson, Bobby, all them, they're going to go to jail. So I just wanted to put that out there before I start what I'm going to do, because I'm very confident in anything I say and do. So that was one of the things that Miss Kitty said. So I just thought I'd address it, because I told you guys I would be addressing questions when asked before I start my session of talking to you guys. Now, I played that song, Stan, because so many people look at you as an individual and they say, I know who she is. I know you. You don't know me. You know of me. You don't know me. If I don't sit on the phone and talk to you, if you have a set at my table, if I don't spend time with you or conversate with you, then you don't know me. You know of me and what people have told you to perceive me to be. But what I decided to do, because I wasn't used to my face being out on platforms, I wasn't used to any of this. I got thrown in the middle because Steve Harvey people want the lie. Then all of a sudden overnight, everybody knew who Essie Berry was. Okay, that's good. So I want you to meet me as a person, not fighting right now as an activist, to show you where I came from, to where I had been, to why I'm like I am now. What I'm getting ready to say is going to be emotional, and I may have to catch myself, but I'm not ashamed of where I've been, because if I hadn't have been through all these situations, I probably would not be the individual that I am today. So here we go. I am a preacher's daughter. Born and raised in Columbus, Georgia, but I was raised in Detroit as well. Several things occurred in Detroit when I was younger. But at 9 years old, I remember it was four of us. It was my older sister, it was me, my brother, and my younger sister. At the time, my younger sister could communicate she could communicate. But something along the way, when we got abused by my biological mother, I think something snapped in her. So they wanted to proclaim that she was mentally retarded. I felt like if she had been around her family members, that wouldn't have happened. So in over 30 years, I have not been able to see my baby sister because of my father, the preacher's daughter. So you tell me, how does that work when he's a preacher and he got my sister locked up with strangers, but he wouldn't even let family see him? So I've been there before. And I was just dealing with somebody on a case like this. So that's why I'm putting this out there now. Because it's one thing to be around strangers, but it's another thing to see your family just fade away and there's nothing that you can do or say about it. And you just take them and lock them up. I would have took my sister. I would still take my sister today. But he's so hateful as a preacher and a bishop that he won't even let me see her. I'm not sure about the rest of the siblings, but I can't see her. So at 9 years old in Detroit, Michigan, we were considered one of the worst child abuse cases in Detroit, Michigan. My mother cut our hair with butcher knives. She beat us with 2x4s. She shot at us with guns. She threw ammonia in our eyes. She fed me raw hamburger meat. She would throw me down flights of stairs. It was horrible. And all I could do is just take it, because what could I do at 9 years old? I felt like somewhere in there that my dad wanted to fight for me, but even though he fought for me, it was a lot going on, and it was hard for him as well because he had never been through anything like this before. But yet he had never been through anything like that before. We as children, I was 9 years old. What did I think about being beaten like that? My hands would be tied to the balcony and my feet would be tied to the bottom of the bed. And my mother would beat me in the stomach with 2x4s. And all this is in my book, but it's a lot more detailed. And I didn't think I could even have children. So to have the two sons that I bared, I thank God for it, because my mom would beat me in the stomach with 2x4s, and I didn't even know if I could have children or not. I had to sit and watch her violate my sisters and my brothers for so long that mentally it did something to me, but who was I going to tell? So many things transpired between there that there was an Avon-like lady who would come to my house, and she knew my mother was beating us, but she never said anything. I always wondered why. I just didn't understand that. And so many things was going on. We was going to school, stinking, musty, jacked up hairdos. It was bad, because in the beginning, my mom kept us immaculate. Our hair was braided. I mean, she kept us clothed. We was late every week, but she found out my dad cheated on her and she was broken, as so many women get broken through the years when you've been in a relationship. And she loved him. And that beating that I told you we got, I believe she beat us like that because she couldn't beat him. And because she couldn't get to him, because we didn't cheat, but he broke her heart. And in the mix of that, we all got separated. We all went to different directions. And my dad kept remarrying. I went to foster homes. I went to juveniles. Everybody was in their own circle. He gave my sister to the state of Detroit because he didn't want to be bothered, because I think he felt like she wasn't his. Me and my sister went to two different places at one time. I went to the country in Alabama. She went to my grandmother, the one who tried to sell me in the beginning. Eventually, I ended back up with my father and my stepmother. And my stepmother was a preacher. That's how my dad became a preacher. I'm truthful, so I don't care if anybody get hurt because you ain't got enough money to destroy me, but I do have enough to destroy you if you come for me. And I have knowledge and power that God has given me. So I really don't need money. All I need is what I have. And because we were being so bad, my dad never got us therapy. So he moved from one relationship to another, and he was abusive himself. I saw him beat my mother before. He's not going to take a lie detector test to say otherwise. I've seen him beat my mother down with black and blue eyes. That's why I don't like no disrespectful man. Right now, to this day, my father don't even speak to me because he don't like that I called the police on him. That was because I was 12 years old at the time. And when he was married to my stepmother, one day something happened. My older sister lied. For whatever reason, my stepmama wanted to beat me. She told my sister to go upstairs and get a hose pipe or a pipe. My sister went looking for a pipe. I was not going to let some other woman beat me with a pipe. And I had already been beaten by my mother. I was a runaway on the streets twice in the streets of Detroit, 7 months in 1 year, and no one could find me. The only way they found me is that I turned myself in. But when I was getting ready to turn myself in, that's when I stayed a year. The police were talking about whooping my ass. They said, let's take her back there and whoop her ass in the cell. White police officers. So what I'm doing mentally at 12 years old, listening to these cops say they're going to beat me in a cell. As soon as they opened their car door, I had turned myself in. I took off and I started running. I found myself hidden in some bushes for 2 days. 2 days at 12 years old on the streets of downtown Detroit. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I didn't do anything. But I sat in the bushes like this crying. In the mirror of the night, some kind of way, a lady heard me. Her name was Denise. I don't know her last name. And she found me. She took me home. She said, I'm not going to ask you no questions. I just want to make sure you get out here so nobody won't do nothing to you. Because I wasn't a bad looking girl. God could have had anything happen to me. I could have been pimping, hoeing, lying, stealing, and mugging. And he chose for me to be right here now telling this story. So maybe it'll help somebody else. So I stayed with Denise about 7 months. After I stayed with Denise about 7 months, she had a husband. She didn't deal with him that much, but he came over and she was at work one day. And he tried to rape me. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even think. All I said is, God, you done let me ran on the streets for almost a year now, 7 months. Are you going to let this man take my innocence? Give me the strength to get him up off me. And I just didn't know. Somehow God heard me, and I didn't even really know who God was. I just knew that someone else heard me besides a human on earth, because no human was listening to me as a child at my age. No one. I got him up off me. I started running, and then I just went ahead and let them put me in a juvenile. I stayed in a juvenile 7 months. Was it seven? No. No, maybe 7 weeks, maybe seven, couple of weeks. From the juvenile, my dad didn't want to take me home. My stepmother said no, and she a preacher now, but she had her kids there, and he admired her. That's what I'm real funny about step-parents, too, because step-parents do not treat their kids like they treat you. They treat their biological kids better, so I've been there, too, and I would know. And so after I left the juvenile, it's so embarrassing to say, but I have to tell you. After I left the juvenile, my stepmother talked my father into putting me into a mental institution. When I walked down the hall and they were taking me, I didn't even know it was a mental institution. I just heard people crying and hollering and screaming and banging on doors. The hallway smelled like piss and boo-boo. It was just bad. And I was like, what the hell? But I'm a little girl. I just didn't know what to think. So I got there and they left me. They left me. And I'm watching people play with their fingers. I'm watching people play with their toes. I'm watching people walk around talking to themselves. And I'm just up here like, Because I mean, I was highly intelligent at 12 years old. Because if you see my mentality now, I'm only 53. But I think I have the wisdom of a lot of elderly people because God sent a lot of elderly people in my way when I was coming up, like Denise. And so I kept saying and praying, thinking that someone was going to take me up out of this place. They never did. I would sing a song, and I always remember just this part. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. Pray on just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. When I would hear that in my mind, I just knew something was going to be all right. So one day I went off. I don't know if y'all ever seen the movie Cuckoo's Nest. I went past the cuckoo. I was jumping, kicking, spit. I did anything that I wanted to do up in that mental ward. Because for 6 to 7 months, I sat like I am now, trying to tell people, look, my stepmama beat me. My dad beat me. I ain't crazy. We just got took away from my mom, who is considered one of the worst child abuse cases in Detroit, Michigan. Can you help me? Tell them don't beat me no more. Can you tell them to listen to me? No one was listening. So I went off. Should I have? No. But after I went off, it was like eight warden, these guys, because I'm a pretty strong sister. And they took all these guys to hold me down, and they shot me with some stuff that you call Hell Dog. Hell Dog is some kind of anti-suppressant medication, but y'all, it had my body would lock up like this. My mouth would go down like that. I would slide from my mouth. My hand would jerk over. I was like, what? Now you know if you see people in mental wards or you see them on TV, that's just real. And that medication make your body become deformed like that. I was that person. 12 years old. So now mentally, how am I going to be able to understand this at 12 years old? But I was trying. So after they shot me up with the Hell Dog, which I didn't know I was shot up with yet, they strapped me to my bed. They strapped me to my bed with my hands at the top and my feet at the bottom. Let me let you know before we go any further. This facility is now closed because of the stuff that they had did to so many children that the parents didn't know about, not even my dad. So they strapped me to the bed, they tied my hands to the top, they tied my feet to the bottom. And then if you had to eat, you would have to have one hand loose and you had to sit up like this. Everything else was strapped while you was trying to eat. They never released you from that bed. If you had to have a pot to pee, they would put the pot up under you, probably barely even wipe you. I stayed like that for 7 days, and I begged for the mercy of God to have people release me. And there was a sweet nurse in there, name is Cheryl. Cheryl heard me. And I think she went to go talk to someone. And then so my therapist came and got me, and he said, let's talk. I told him, I don't want to talk. He said, you've been so good all these 7 months. Why don't you want to talk now? And you just went off like that. I said, because you didn't want to talk to me in the beginning. So the only way that I'm going to talk to you is that you lay on the couch and you act like you're the patient and let me be the therapist. He said, that doesn't work. I said, well, none of this works for me, but I'm here. We began to talk. He said, okay, I'm a play this game. I told him I wasn't playing a game. I needed him to hear me. By the time I got through breaking my heart down to this man, I was released from that mental ward. Not because of a grown-up. Not because someone pleaded. It was because of my voice that got me free. It was because of who I was that God created me to be. It got me free. My dad was mad. He didn't want to come get me. I didn't care, but I was free. But he had to come get me. And I went home. Stayed home about a month. He was very angry because he wanted me to stay. He didn't want me to tell the truth. I'm not sure what he wanted me to do. But I'm a very honest person. Anything I say about anybody, I'll put it up. I'll take a lie detector, truth serum. It doesn't matter. And I got home. So many things had happened. I knew every time I would turn around, I would get beat for something. I didn't want to keep getting beat for things that I didn't do. I remember one time my sister had went out and we went to a party, my older sister. And my dad said, y'all come back here. I smell anything on you. I'm going to whoop you. We preacher's daughters. We can't do that. Y'all got to go to church the next day. But you beating the hell out of us behind closed doors, but we still got to go to church the next day. And my sister got home. She was smelling like weed. So she pulled powder, perfume, everything in her mouth. I don't know if she did anything or not. I just know they was all up on her sniffing her. So then they began to want to whoop her. So when dad or my stepmom would beat us or whoop us, when they whoop us, then they would go get one of the siblings and say, hey, won't y'all beat her too? So they would actually want us to go and beat up on each other after they done whooped us. I wouldn't do it. So I took a whooping too. But I remember one particular night I had broke a hair dryer. I didn't know what to do because I thought I was going to be beaten again. So I just put the hair dryer back up in there, broke it, didn't say nothing. But when they asked me, I didn't lie. They said I should have told it. I probably could. But their method was not talking. It was like beating. So that's why I really don't care for preachers to this day. Not saying that all preachers are the same way, but when you're raised by one and you see that hypocritical thing that's going on, you saying amen in the pulpit, but you cussing your kids out and beating them behind closed doors, that's an issue to me. And that's a problem. So when I didn't tell it, my dad found out. He came in. He cut a hose pipe. You know the water hose pipe that you water the garden with? That one. Long. He cut it and he beat me with it. And then he let my stepmama beat me. And then he told my sister and brothers to jump on me. And they stomped me like somebody in the street. They stomped me and beat me down. And I took whoopings because I wasn't going to do that to my siblings, but they did it to me. And then after they got through, they put me in a hot tub of water so the whips could go down because I had to go the next day to church and sing because I am a gospel singer. God gave me that. They say, you will lose what you don't use. You can't lose nothing God has truly given you. It's just maybe suppressed for a minute. And so I went to church the next day, bundled all the way up because I had been beaten to death. And the next day I had to go to therapy. When I went to therapy, I was messed up, y'all. The only thing that was not messed up on my body was my face. Everything else, my body was swollen all the way down with webs. What am I going to do? I'm just 12 years old, finna go on 13. I went to my psychiatrist and my therapist. When they walked in office, I was booty naked. I had just on my panties and my bra, and I was sitting. I said, look, dude, this look like I'm crazy. Before I could get home good and got on that bus, really, they shouldn't have let me left, but they did, and they let me go home. When I got home, I had never seen so many police, detectives, CPS workers, and everybody. I had never seen that many people in all my life. My dad had my stuff packed. He hid it on the porch. He gave it to the people. He said, I never want to see you again. Okay. Because I never was going to let you beat me again. I used to go to concerts and we sing and we would win. I ain't get nothing. I'm 53 years old. I never had a birthday party. If they were to go get me something, it was something that was used from a Goodwill. And I just sat and took it because what was I supposed to do? Who's going to hear me at 12 years old? And there's so many little kids that's going through what I'm telling you I went through because no one heard my voice. That's why my voice is so loud to this day, because I know how it is to be beaten into silence and nobody hears what you're saying. And when my dad told me he didn't want to see me no more, I'm 53. I'm not seeing my dad maybe twice since. I've been grown. Before Ilana Fix My Life came out, I was one of the first people that I reached out to Ilana Fix My Life and her producers reached out to my dad because I was trying to fix this. He said, I don't want to bother her. I don't want to fix nothing. He wouldn't do it. He didn't even try to do it, but that was okay. Because at least I knew in my heart that I tried to make amends. But when you could tell me that a preacher still carries that type of demeanor today, and you tell me you're going to go to heaven, I'll get there the best way I can, because I don't trust your way of getting there. And no disrespect to my father, because I guess he's a cool dude, but I saw a lot of negative in you. I saw him beat my mother and never said I apologize. I saw you cheat on her and break her. You never apologized. I saw you let me be thrown in a mental ward and you never even asked me what happened. Those things had broke me through the years that I became the person I am, because all I had was me, myself, and I. I knew that I could depend on myself. You know you can depend on yourself. You know, if you don't know anything else, know that you can plead a case better than anyone can plead it for you, because you are the one who lived it. And I want to say this before I go any further. A lot of people thought I was nosy in Mary's case when Steve Harvey thing came up. But there was a police report and there was footage, y'all, videos of his son brutally beaten by Steve. And I broke. Because I had never seen nothing like that before. I didn't even care what Mary had said. I was like, damn, this boy 9 years old and this celebrity beat his son like this. And to see the pictures, call the CSI. They got him. It was brutal. It was graphic. And he had to live through that. Mary's son. Why? And if you try to come at me, go get Winton. Go ask him. When I saw that, the only thing went into my mind, it went back to reflect. When I was abused, how can I help him? What can I do for Mary? How can I make my voice? It didn't even matter who he was. It was the fact that I saw the documents. It was the fact that I saw the papers. It was the fact that I saw that footage and it was bad. It was just bad. And I went to a place that I didn't know how to come from. So when people say she was all in the business, no, I'm a civil rights activist. How do I see a person beat somebody like that and I don't say nothing and I lived it? So it was never about being in her business. It was about doing what's right. And if he had been any other man except Steve Harvey, he would be in prison right now, because we could not have done that. We could not have walked away and beat a kid like that and nothing be done, because you got money and power. I don't give about your money, your power. But I gave a care about what I saw. So in the back of my mind, I was like, it was me living that all over again. I didn't know how to react. So I just wanted to put that out there to let you know, because I was abused and I saw what happened to him, it reflected back on my life to this day. And believe it or not, in 2015 was the first time I ever went to therapy for anything that I'm telling you guys about now, because I suppressed it. Because I didn't have to worry about nobody doing me again or trying to hurt me or try to silence me or try to take my voice or try to lie on me or try to reclaim. And Steve did that to me. And he violated me all over again. And instead of him saying, I'm sorry, he chose to lie about being his kid. Didn't care what happened to me. Didn't care what happened to Mary. He tried to suppress my voice. He tried to take away who God created me, myself, and I to be. And I would have rather went to jail and to prove my case instead of letting this man do what he done did to every other woman. He was not going to do it to Essie Berry. My father was not going to do it to Essie Berry no more. Nobody's going to do that to Essie Berry again. And I said that my father was a preacher. He say, but still to this day, he does not know how to come and say, Essie, let's sit down and have a talk. About 4 or 5 years ago, when me and my sister was cool before Steve paid her fried chicken and money, we would talk. And she gave my dad my number. Then she called me back and said, yo, he cussed me out. He don't want to talk to you. Okay. Because I know who he is. So if you think you're going to reach in the kingdom of the Father, I can't tell you if you're going to make it there or not. I can tell you what I'm trying to do to make it. I can tell you who I am right now, that I'm trying to be better. I can tell you any mistakes I made that I'm sorry for them, but I can't change what has already been written. I can go further and try to help other people, because all this is hard for me to sit up and tell you. And some of it was embarrassing, but I was a kid and you can't hold me accountable for somebody else, what someone else did. How? I didn't like going to church like that. I like to sing, but there's two ways of singing, and I can get down a little bit on gospel. But when you try to make me be someone I'm not, then it takes something out of you. I do not like the way my father preaches. He can call and ask me. I'll tell him on the phone, but he didn't, so I'm telling you now. I don't like the way he pray, because he pray with his eyes closed open, like he trying to see who's going to say the next amen. That's hypocritical. I didn't like it. I didn't feel it. And I didn't want to go to his church, because I felt like if I could not build a relationship with my father, you're going to take me to hell with you. I can get to hell by myself. I'm not going to go to hell with you. And I found out a couple years ago, when I had ran away from home, one of a girlfriend named Regina called me. She had two twin sisters. They let me stay at their house a couple months because I had ran away. She had joined my father's church. He a bishop now. And she said he told her so much bad stuff about me. But then when she saw me on the internet, she saw my demeanor. She saw who God had created in me. Not what man say. Not what man say. What God says. She said she found me. She reached out to me. And we talked. And she could not believe it. She took her family and said, I don't want to be a part of your church no more. So maybe he still got 5 members. But that time she said he may have had 15. So how many people are really following this leader? You produced a leader, but you didn't produce a leader enough that you stay led and you stay in the same mind that no matter what the world tell you to do, you should have done what God told you to do, because you said that God chose you. And if God chose you, then how can you be bitter and don't have a relationship with your daughter? And did it hurt me? Hell yeah, it hurt. Because all a daughter wants is for her father to love her. And I didn't do nothing. So for you to turn your back on me and I didn't do nothing, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to turn to? So is it the times that I met and got in a relationship with men? What was I looking for? Because I didn't know what to find in a man. Because this is what I had as a representation. But I'm going to be honest with you. I knew if I got married or with someone, that I wasn't going to let them beat me. I don't know if y'all were still saw the movie Burning Bad. I go rent that movie. I tell them to watch it before you start dealing with me. Because you put your hands on me. You black my eyes. You mess with me. And I'm telling you straight up, I will burn a cat straight in the bed and then call the police and say, I done sat this nigga on fire. It's just what it is at this point. But God made it so I was never with an abusive man. God made it that I knew what to build from. He knew who I was as an individual. My father don't know me. My family don't know me. I haven't been around my father since 12 years old. He don't know me. He just know whatever. He guess he know that he gave birth. Because you got my mom pregnant, that makes you a father. No, that makes you a nigga on the street that got her pregnant and gave birth to me. And my mother was just a vessel to get me here to do what all I'm getting ready to do right now. So if anybody don't like what I've said, you can't change the facts of what has happened. But because so many people wrote me over the years, and I'm still going through emails or text messages, I can't even believe it. Things that when I was going through the stuff with Mary, people was writing me, telling me how I inspired them. And then I was like, oh, these people don't even know me. And they just coming to my rescue. And they don't even know who I am. All they knew is that there's a civil rights activist on the internet going after Steve Harvey. But they never asked why I went after him so hard, because he didn't care. You know, and I don't want people to deal with me, and you're going to try to break me or hurt me or say, Essie, you ain't supposed to cry. Why not? I'm human. Because there was a lot of things that hurted me through my life, and now it's time to release it. And whatever you don't see on these videos is deeper in my book. But I wanted to make sure that I had a complete understanding of what God wanted me to do before I let you know who I am. Because I've seen so many videos on the internet about Essie Berry, Essie Berry. But who is Essie? Where did she come from? How did she get so strong to fight? Why would she not sit out? Why did she keep on going? Why did she care that she wouldn't go to jail? Because I didn't. Because I was telling the truth. And y'all, these bloggers, y'all get so wrapped up into the hype of the industry. But do you really know what's the lie and what's the truth? Do you really know what you're saying on this mic is a lie and the truth?
And I had so many people come say, Essie, only when you reveal Steve Harvey that we believe Mary. Why? Why did you believe her when she was saying it? Why did people believe me when I said I was being violated? Because they had another type of authority that I didn't carry. And that's okay. Because I carry authority now that I can change anything that comes my way. That's why I became a civil rights activist. Because I wanted to fight. I didn't want nobody to silence me. I didn't want nobody to tell me to shut up. I didn't want nobody to tell me that I'm wrong. And I am wrong about a lot of things. But I got a 100% winning rate. And I didn't lose against Steve Harvey. I walked away because his whole team could not handle me by themselves. They started going after my family members. They started going after my friends. And there's going to be some stuff that's going to be revealed on his mic about his lawyers, letters that they sent me, things that was wrote to me. Y'all don't even know it. Francesca Berry, Fred Rerun Berry, first wife. She was in on this when all this was happening. She even wrote a letter for me. I'm going to reveal that letter. Uh-oh, it's going to get deep. And that letter was wrote in 2013. This was wrote in 2017. I'm a pack rat. I keep everything. At the end of the day, Steve ain't gotten away with nothing. My dad didn't get away with nothing. Nobody who do anything, you ain't get away with nothing. I'm sure my dad, and look, I didn't call your name because I chose not to. So if my sister take this video, because y'all see her on the internet talking about me, she called me EB. I don't care what she called me because she's jealous of me. You know, so if she take this video and go say it, tell it to my dad, maybe he needs a reflection of a wake-up call. To know that you need to learn how to preach, that you need to learn how to pray, that you need to learn to forgive a 12-year-old girl that said, Dad, I don't want to be beaten no more, but you let your wife beat me, and she's a minister too. They church will be shut down just because of what I'm saying. So if my sister's smart, don't take it no further because you piss me off. I'll call his name. Matter of fact, I'll call his church. Matter of fact, I'll go higher than that, but I saved him. I chose not to violate my dad because that's my father at the end of the day. And do I love my dad? Of course I love my dad. That's a stupid question. But will I ever let anybody violate me like that again? Never in this world, the next one beyond, and the next one beyond that. So I'm saying that because everything I went through, it was a transition to get me to where I am now. But I say when you hear a little kid saying something, please listen. Don't just go unattended. When you see a black woman saying she's being violated, don't just like turn your face or turn away. I was a black woman being violated by this man for 5 years, Steve Harvey, right? 8 years now. My dad violated me as a little girl. So did you really think that I would come and let anybody else on any level violate me? Would I have got on YouTube and did this? No, I would have not. But I went to judges, lawyers, and everybody was being paid off. And I can prove it. And what I'm going to do, so nobody won't think I'm lying. Every complaint, anything I put against a judge, anything I said about my father, any documents that can prove what I'm bad, it's in the book. See, I don't have to have a lot of talking. I'm going to have the proof to go with mine. I'm not sure how many people do that. But this is a way to allow people to know that you could have been me. You could be in my situation. You need to learn how to fight. I learned how to fight because I didn't have nobody else to fight for me. I learned how to fight because I had God in me. When people say it's the God in me, it is the God in me. There is a God. Because if it was not a God, I don't think I could have made it out that mental ward at 12 years old. If there wasn't a God, I would have been hoeing, mugging, pimping, and stealing on the streets, and a pimp would have got me and did what he wanted to do with me. I can truly say that I know there is something else divine about me that God has blessed me with, that he has carried me through this whole thing. He said he'll make your enemy your footstool. He's done that. He said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's done that. He showed me everything I need to know, because what we do, you guys, we reflect on humans, flesh. Start reflecting on flesh and reflect on your spirit. Get to yourself and sit down and ask God what he wants you to do. Get down to yourself and find out where God truly wants you to be. It took me 10 years to not let a man touch me. It took me 10 years to go through the things that I went through to be the person I am. And let me tell you something. I'm still angry with Steve Harvey. but not like that. I'm just upset with Steve Harvey because he's a better man than that. He jacked up in his own ways, y'all, but I believe in my heart that he was a good man. He just didn't know how to fix the trust stuff that he had been through. He kept going after women and harassing women, but he came across me and he didn't know how to fix it, because you can't fix someone you come to me, because I'm going to destroy everything about you because you came to me wrong. You didn't have to do that. I can never say I hate somebody, because if I say I hate them, I can't say I love God. I don't like the position he put me in. I don't like the things that transpire. I don't like the lies. And as a grown-ass 60-year-old man, Steve could have came and sat to me, but was more better. He tried to make his wife look stupid behind closed doors, and she got a best friend, and you're going to try to make her look stupid. It didn't work for him. And all the networks that did believe me, all the people that did believe me, I thank you. Because all I had was me, myself, and I. And I know if I hadn't got on this YouTube streets, as y'all say, and start preaching and telling my story, I don't know where I would be. And yeah, Tasha K, she came out and told what she had to tell. But like, she didn't do it right at the end. Like, you know, I was desperate. And when you do desperate things, it causes desperate measures and you don't think. But now I had a time to clearly think about what God wants me to do. I've had opportunities now where people asking me to do certain projects. But it's just depending on what I do, because I'm not for sale. When I do something, I want to help, like, the world. I want to help make a difference. I don't want to just be on something talking and you trying to make some stuff artificial. I don't even believe in, like, reality show. I could do a real good reality show because you ain't coming to me with that mess. But all the fake stuff acting, I'm not an actor. I'm a civil rights activist that's retired. I'm a victim's advocate. I'm a mandated reporter. I'm a mother. I'm an auntie. I'm a grandma. I'm all those phenomenal women together. But I needed people to know, because this girl asked me, where do your strength come from? Essie, what made you so hard like this? Am I hard? Or did you just think I'm hard? Because a person that's hard can't shed a tear. I can shed tears, but I can be raw too. But at the end of the day, I'm just who I am and who God wanted me to be. I want to be better than I was. I want to be stronger than I was. I want to reform the system that women won't get pissed on like I was pissed on through this stuff with Steve Harvey as a victim. I want to be able to reach out and say things like, there's a transgender woman. This transgender woman was violated against Steve. Steve Harvey violated this transgender woman. And I'm going to put it out there again, but I'm going to break the pages down so y'all can see what this transgender woman said. Transgender. Why? Because you was dealing with a transgender and you didn't want her to tell you, but then you turned around and shut her up and violated her. These are the things that I see right now that we cannot continue to allow happen. There are so many women that are being violated, and they're Black women. Like, we don't have a voice, so we don't have a choice. We get scared because we don't have anybody else around us. We can't scream out. We can't say anything, because who's going to believe us? God believe you. And if you are God and you are his, he said no one will come against his child. You understand? So you got to understand God got you no matter whether any individual on this earth got you or not. Because what I did realize is it doesn't matter who my family members are. It doesn't matter that I have a father still alive on this earth. It doesn't matter if I have siblings on this earth. They don't communicate with me. I don't have to communicate with you. Did it bother me at times? Of course it did, because I'm human. But God made me allow myself to be happy with me. God started saying, Essie, you got to be free. And your story can be a testimony for other people. Because look at me now. Look at what God created in me now. Look at the message that I'm trying to allow you. Some people would not have put any of this out, because I told you that don't change who I am now. It just makes me stronger. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to understand when you see Essie Berry, who you're dealing with and where I really come from. And there's a message behind all this, because at the end of the day, you can build who you are. And in one day, I watch a man destroy my whole credibility, Steve Harvey, 8 years ago, because he wanted to lie and say I was a co-conspirator. Please look it up. Please look up what extortion is and what somebody should have been doing and saying, well, Steve, where's extortion? What did she do? He couldn't even prove it, but the media ran with it. Nobody could prove nothing, but the media ran with it. So overnight, my whole life got exposed on this internet, and I don't even know how it happened. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still, like, surprised at certain things, but I just I had to do this after this because I told you guys I was going to start dating. And I didn't like that that dating show came to me and said, are you the woman who dragged Steve Harvey on the internet? I didn't like that because I'm a black woman. I don't want to drag no other black person. I don't want to drag nobody, but I definitely don't want to drag my own people on the internet. And that's what I'm going to be known by. And there's a documentary going to come about. You're going to see all the stalking, everything, a lot of stuff new is coming up this year. But I'd rather keep my own stuff in my own hands. And you know I'm going to always roll with Geneva because Geneva was the only one didn't back down. Geneva was the only, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think like a female, I've never had a female to come to my defense and save me like Geneva did. Everybody else was trying to make hits and views, but we became friends, and I had never even had a sister that protected me like Geneva did. So somebody can come tell me whatever they want to. At that time, she was there. At that time, when Francesca Berry wrote that letter with Steve Harvey, and I wouldn't even like couldn't even think, they were there. I don't turn my back on people that helped me, that's been there for me. I try to be there any way I can because I feel like that's what God would want me to do in any situation. I am so grateful that I can like speak and not be ashamed. I am so grateful that I'm in a better place because I would get on the internet, you guys, and Steve Harvey, I got the videos. He would have people making videos of me with black eyes, had me tied to the bed like my mother was abusing me. He got those stories from my sister, but to know mentally that Steve Harvey had people playing off of this, I'm in a program for victims. I couldn't have got in a program without all this that I'm telling you. And it's a program called Safe at Home for Victims. I'm in this program because every piece of evidence that I have, it went back to Steve Harvey, his lawyers, and everybody. I couldn't have got into it without it. But it just made me know how to fight for women when they're in the same situation I am in. So I feel like I'm a walking and a living testimony for myself. And all right now I can do is tell the truth. And I know like people come at me and they want me to be on something, to do something. That's going to make more people research me. Then that's going to make people want to do more stuff about me. But then you can't tell my truth better than I can tell it. So why not tell it? Because you can't embarrass me about nothing that's the went on in my life. Because I know who I am. You can't say I'm a whore because I've been 10 years celibate. If I was a whore, I would still be doing men. I would be kicking it. I've been married all my life. I like being single. I like being free. I like making myself happy. I like looking in the mirror and knowing who I am. I like knowing that I can stand for myself. I like that I can't be broken. And have I been broken? I have. Because the stuff that I went through in the last 8 years, how y'all met me, that shit broke me. To fight against Steve Harvey is one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life. And you know what was sad? I was fighting and he knew he was wrong. I was going, but how can I fight and watch him trying to destroy my family too? So I either got to take the ass whooping or I just got to walk off. And I walked off because I was not willing to allow my family members to go through what I went through with this man. And one night it got so bad. Come on, Essie. One night it got so bad, I called a suicide hotline. I don't think I was going to kill myself. I know I wasn't. But I needed someone to make sense to me. How overnight I became a monster because Steve Harvey said it. I needed someone to make sense to me to help me understand why was I being cyberbullied on YouTube. I needed someone to help me understand why was police being paid off and told me that Steve Harvey called them and nobody would take my police report as a black woman. So I lived it. So nobody can say, oh, do you think they, I can't say what a celebrity won't do because I seen what Steve Harvey did to me. And I seen what he did to his child mother. And his baby still looked lost because you ain't trying to mend with your baby mother. And you have to be careful of that. Because when you treat a person a certain kind of way, it's going to come back on you 10 times fold. And there's nothing that you can do to change it because you may think you being slick, but you can't be slick with God. You can't hide nothing with God. And what I do know is for the abuse that my mother did, for the dislike that my father showed me as a woman growing up, But how Steve Harvey and violated me through the years, and I had to fight with police and judges and all this. Y'all, it made me a monster. It made me a beast. It made me know if you come for me now, I will destroy everything in your path, and I won't think about doing it. And if that means that I had to go to jail to do it because everybody's watching now, then I would do that. And that letter that I showed you, that's bad. The letter that I showed you, it's bad. The letter that I showed y'all in the beginning saying it came from Steve Harvey's attorney is bad. They were so scared and they started throwing people up on the bus, and I was taking everything people was giving me. I just didn't show it because there's a time to do something and there's a time not to. And at this time, all he had to do is come and talk. It ain't no more talking now. What is it to talk about? I am who God created me to be, and everything happens for a reason and a purpose. The life that God has chosen for me to live, I don't care about being rich. I don't care about fame. I don't care about fortune. I don't care about none of that. I care about the truth. I care about the truth. I care about dying. I care about when I leave here, where I'm going to go. I care about praying every night. I care about praying for my enemies. I care about praying for the people who don't even do me right, whether I like them or not. But what you will not do anymore, I allow these people to have control over me. I took my control back when I started to speak. I will continue to take my power back. And every time I tell y'all a part of my truth, I grow stronger and stronger. Because you know what Black women don't do? They sugarcoat it. They don't come out like I did because you're too embarrassed. Nobody wants to say what they went through because they're too embarrassed. Was I embarrassed? Of course I was. But I was a child then. I can't help what happened at 12 years old. I'm 53 now. How are you going to make that difference? You can't. Only thing you can accept the truth in what I've told you. And behind that, God's going to grow with something greater with me. So now all the blessings that's coming at me now, people come to me, ask me to do things. It got to be right for me or I'm not going to do it. If it can't be nothing to help all these people who follow me, because I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I see somebody on this mic and I know they follow me in Geneva through the years, I say thank you. Because y'all don't know me, and you stood and you watched and you believe me. And I built my credibility on honesty, but I'm brutal too, y'all. Sometimes I can be really carrot crappy. Sometimes I can be really mean. But you got to realize if your mother will hurt you and take who you are, and if your dad will do that to you, how can you trust individual people? You cannot. And half of the things in my life I live, my sons don't know it. Even the people who raised me, they don't know it. If they don't see the videos, what I didn't share on the videos, you'll read it in the book. And please, when you read what I have to say or you hear what I have to say, I know it makes you feel emotional because I'm emotional, but cry because it's a happy moment now because I'm free. I've been free. I've been free to fight for people and I fight for myself. And I'm fighting a difficult case right now and it's just all over the place. And it just had me thinking about how important family is, what we need to do to gather ourselves. When someone comes against you, all you can do is stand and pray. Why keep retaliating? Because it's not going to go that way. I will continue to tell my truth on this mic. No one can stop me. And people ask why Steve Harvey never sued me, because he can't. I wish he would. I could bring 7 victims right now. It'll shut him all the way down. It was never about destroying anyone. It's about always telling the truth. This was not about getting on here bashing my dad. This is my life, my truth, my story. This is what I went through. And then people came at me who didn't even know me. People tried to violate me and say things about me, but you didn't know me. And I don't care what nobody say about me now. I did then, because that right there, when I seen all those videos made of me, they made them of Geneva. They dragged Geneva. They dragged CT. They were using personal content to try to mentally break women down. Steve Harvey did this, and I watched it. But I'm glad that I went through that, because you can't do it now. You can't do it now and think it would affect me. Because if I know truly no grow, and I had to grow. That made me grow stronger in God. That made me know how to be humble. That made me know that everything happens for a reason, a purpose. And what it made me know most of all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because God truly created me. And what God has created me, you can't be broken. And that night when I called that suicide hotline, that was my change. Because I said, oh, hell no. All that. And I'm calling. And then the broad was on the phone talking crazy. That was it for me. I said, Eve, regroup yourself. Essie, be the soldier that God taught you to be. Don't tuck your tail and run. Stop crying. And I was crying massive. I was so upset because they showed me being abused. They talked about my mom being in a mental ward. Nobody knows me personally to do that. Only a person that would have a personal vendetta with me would do that. I'm cute, y'all, and I'm sweet as hell. I don't have a personal issue with men. I don't do that. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. That's how I knew that it was Steve. And every time they would talk about me, Mary, Geneva together. It was always about something with Steve Harvey. We told y'all about the sites that were stalking us and what was going on. And all this just triggered in my mind that I said, let me let them know who Essie is. Because when I come out with part three and start showing letters, text message, emails, I'm showing you a pattern of who I am. I'm allowing you to know who I was, who I am, who I'm going to be. So anytime if somebody wants to sit down and have a meeting with me and they level, they can do that because, but I'm not going to you can't pay me not to write my book. You can't pay me not to put what's in my book. That's not going to happen. I need to let people know what Mary Harvey wrote to me. I need people to know what happened to me over the years. I need people to know who Fred Rerun Berry really is, not just a guy who's fat, happy, pop-locking. He was a powerful person too, y'all, and he had a lot of violent streaks in him, and I had to deal with that. So I've been married to a celebrity. They come before the camera, and they smile, and then they try to run up on you behind closed doors. I'm going to get in that too. It's going to be a part about Fred Berry, and if nobody don't like it, I don't care. And Francesca invalidated it happened because a lot of abuse happened to her. But I would rather tell my truth now than someone turn it later. And then you come with some things that is not true. And I am a survivor, born and raised. I will continue to be a warrior and I will continue to fight for what's right. And some people said, like Miss Kitty said, it seemed like we suppressed what happened to Steve or got suppressed. It's not suppressed. It's just a certain time when God's going to elevate it to come back out because Steve has had enough opportunity to do right. Steve has had enough opportunity to say things. And here it goes, too, before I get off this mic. I will not, and I am not a vindictive person. I will always stand for what is right and what is honorable. I know what I know because I know it. It has always haunted me in the back of my heart to know that Mary told me that Steve tried to molest her son and no one did nothing. I said, well, hell, that's a good enough reason to gag you. She said that. So if Steve wanted to sue me, I said what I said, that Mary said that, and that bothered me because no one checked into it. Go get Mary's son and ask him. But the only thing the court could do is silence her. And then when they could silence her, they thought was I was going to be a punk and you was going to silence me too. Not with all the abuse that I've been through in my life. No one will do that again. I'm not scared of it. Go get whoever you want to. The police showed up my door and told me. Steve sent the police to my door and said there was a warrant for my arrest. I said, are y'all finna damn arrest me? They said, no, we just want to let you know. I said, so you talked to Steve yourself? They said, yeah. I said, if you ain't finna arrest me, get the hell off my porch. If not, let me go get my stuff together and we can go on up out of here. That's how I was talking to the police. You don't hold nothing over me. You can't tell me what to do. And the person that I became is a person that people made me became. For every action, there will always be a reaction. And I will always stand for the truth. And if any blogger or anybody in the world, media, whoever, anything I'm telling you, what Mary said, how she said it, including this molestation charge that she said herself, I'll take a lie detector test. But see, they can't come get me without coming to get Mary and her son. So to me, if y'all really think about it, why do you think a black woman would be gagged for almost 16 years and can't say nothing about a celebrity? Because you have something to hide. And when you got all these people involved who helped hit it, not only he will be in jail, she will be in jail too. So to me, they will be in jail too. It went out of my hands when you start doing illegal dealings. It go out of my hands because I don't think logical. I think what's legal. So say if I just said, okay, cool, Steve, we good. The other people who did what they did, the judges, the lawyers, the police, they still got to take accountability for that. They still got to answer to that. And there's another page that in the process of Born Again that I'm going to be giving y'all a site. I was not going to do it, but I feel like I should because if I'm telling my truth, I might as well tell everybody else's. Mary said a lot of things about Steve. If they're not true, then he'll have to prove it. I may release some of it on this page, but when I release it, y'all will know what page, so you can go over there and hear her voice saying it. And she said some very crucial things. So whatever she said now, it's not sealed because she gave it to me. Whatever was written to me in email, it's not sealed because they try to keep silence us over sealed documents that we didn't know what was false and what was fake. And anytime you know that a person's trying to shut you up, but then he went and tried to gag Geneva too, you know there's something more to this. And why do we got to shut up? Because we're Black women. I got tired of being shut up a long time ago. So at the end of this, you guys, my story and my truth was today to tell you that you can be abused, you can be violated, and nobody will hear your voice. I'm a grown woman now. I don't have to try to make someone hear my voice. When I speak, my presence is known. When I am here, my presence is known. When I stand the way I carry myself, a person knows that I'm going to be truthful about everything I do. And I just want to thank everybody for the support, the love, the understanding that they bring to me each Sunday. I'm trying to be so, like, keep it accurate, try to come on every Sunday. I will be on next Sunday too. None of this was to bash anybody. This was to tell the truth. I want to see you guys back next Sunday because I have still have a lot more to tell you to the point of who I am right now, even with why I am the way I am. And I may next week take a little bit more questioning because I done did like this the third one. And we still got a couple more before the new year, because when the new year comes, that's when I'm gonna, and right before the new year, that's when I'm going to start bringing out these letters and things. That's when I'm going to show y'all some things that I kept my mouth about 2017 with that letter. Now, somebody should be really wondering, what did Steve Harvey attorney send Essie Berry and she didn't even show it on the internet? Okay, but y'all going to find out now. So understand, somebody said down there, whatever's done in the dark, it will come to the light, and it will always come to the light. Miss Michelle, I know she's still, you know, riding for me, Miss Cheryl. And I think that's why I got so connected to Miss Cheryl, because of the way her name is spelled. And I remember that lady in that mental ward, and that's how she spelled Cheryl. And that was one of the most humblest women that helped me walk through that process as a 12-year-old girl that I never forgot her. And there are some people who see me on the internet now who see me and they try to reach out to me and remind me that I knew you back in the day. I am as gracious as you allow me to be, and I'm as humble as you allow me to be. And at this point, I am just so honored, you know, to be able to share my story, and hopefully it will help someone else. It will, you know, enlighten someone else. It would help you tell a child's voice better. It will tell you to listen more. It will tell us as Black women, don't sit up and think you don't have a voice. It will tell you that you got other people standing with you, and know everything happens for a reason. It may not be what you like, because none of this in my life, I liked it, but this was the hand that was dealt to me. And because this is the hand was dealt to me, this is the hand that I have to keep for me, period. So to that, you guys, I got a little emotional. You know, I really haven't eaten anything today because, like I said, I've been working on a case for a whole week now, and it really just took me somewhere because I'm not going to go into too many details, but, like, I'm a compassionate person, and they had one of my friend's wife in the hospital and just seemed like they was going to sit there and let the lady die. And then I started calling the hospital, and then they got upset. And then because the children wanted it one way and they wanted another, it just became too emotional. But I had to call Rank because I felt like if I didn't call Rank, the woman would have died in the hospital. She was not talking. She was not doing anything. She didn't have any movement. Within 24 hours after my friend calling me, I got her moved to another hospital. It's in a whole nother state. She is now up, walking and talking. But I believe because she was a Black woman. And I said, what y'all going to do? Y'all going to just let this Black woman be thirsty? You're going to let her go with thirsty. And all you are Caucasian people that's waiting on this Black woman. And y'all don't see her up here pretty much finna die. And so when I start calling Rankin, I tell him, if she die on my watch, then I won't even have no mercy for your hospital. I'm going to come back and annihilate legally everything that's standing. When I told them that, they done sent the best specialists in on this Black woman to make sure she's okay. It doesn't matter what her children felt at that time, because they really don't care for me. And that's all right, because I'm their father's friend, their stepfather's friend, and that's okay. But what you will not do is sit up here and tell me something and I don't fight to the best of my ability. And if I do walk away, it's because I walked away because I told you to do something and you didn't do it. When I come on a case, you don't do it the way you want to. You either do it the way I ask you to, or we don't got a case at all. I'm not going to do nothing illegal. I'm not going to do nothing shady. But what I will do is fight to my best of my ability. I don't care if I like you or not. I could hate your guts. I could hate your guts. And if I knew that someone was violating you and you couldn't say it for yourself and you come get me, hell yeah, I would do it. Yes, I would say it. That's how true I am. I don't care what Steve did. But do you really think that I saw him laying on the sidewalk, that I would walk over this man and just let him die in the middle of the street? That he probably do me like that now, because I know too much. Y'all know that. But I wouldn't do that to him. So I'm just saying, I wanted to give you a whole perspective to who Essie Berry is, who she is telling the truth about her life. So when I start exposing other things, you're going to know that all this is truthful. Why wouldn't it be? And at any time, go take it to the media, go get a lie detector, do whatever you want to do. But it will never silence me again from telling the truth. And I almost felt that about 5 years ago, before I met Geneva and got on this internet, that the same thing that was being did to me as a 12-year-old girl, being beaten, silenced, and abused, I felt like that triggered me to get where I am right now. And I don't ever want to be in a position that I feel like any person on this earth can silence me and shut me up from telling the truth. And you should not want that either. And be careful when you're on these sites with these bloggers, because if you ain't telling the truth, I don't want to mess with you. No one can ever say they saw my face on any other blogger page. You know why? Because I didn't want it on there. Because I'm not with all the extra. I'm with about business and you telling the truth. I chose that. Would I go on somebody dependent? It's dependent. But I don't have to help you get views to make your channel pop up. I can help you get views to tell the truth. And we ain't playing no games. But other than that, I don't want to waste my time today. Because there's too many things that's going on in the world that we need to change. One voice can make a difference and one voice can make a change. I'm going to read all the comments that you guys have left, and then I'm going to go back and address them. And then next week I'll come back because I had questions, but I just don't want to do them right now because this right here, this episode was a little bit harsh for me, but I felt like I had to get it out there so then you guys can kind of learn and get to know the rest of me. So to that, you guys, I will want you to share this video only because I feel like it can help other people and other young girls and Black women and Black girls as well to know where I've been through, from a runaway on the streets, beaten like I was, thrown in juveniles, mental wards, shipped off, being tried to be sold to my grandmother. And look at me now. You can't tell me it ain't God, because that's all I can say it is, because it didn't have nothing to do with anybody of human nature. It had to do with a higher spirit, a higher foundation, and a higher creator. And until you know that, then you won't even understand what I'm talking about. You won't even be able to experience what I feel. And you won't be able to even elaborate or intake what I'm saying until you truly know that you connected with yourself in the spirit of God. And yeah, I'm going to fall short and I may do things that may not always be right. But as long as I talk to the Father above and know that there is going to be all right, I can't worry about what man say. And neither should you. And a lot of times, y'all, we put our own self in situations. We put ourselves in situations that we cannot get out of. If you're in an abusive relationship, you let him slap you once and you say, okay, he's going to slap you again. You end it with a cool person. She tell your business or try to come on to your man. She going to tell your business, try to come on to your man again. I don't even roll with people like that. Let's stop putting ourselves in situations to make it more stressful for us. And if someone shows you who they are, believe who they are and get yourself out of that situation so you will be in a better place. And sometimes you may not want to walk away. It's been relationships that I didn't want to walk away, but I had to think about my mentality, my mental state, and I had to think about what I was going through to make me walk away. And that's what I did, because now 2023, I'm not trying to be funny, you guys, but I'm not going to go through any extra. I'm not going to go through any drama. I'm not going to go through anything. I'm just going to worry about me, myself, and I, which is Essie Berry. And whatever comes from that, I will do it. Will I still help people? Yeah. but because I fell short so many years on myself, because I got lost so much trying to go through all these emotional turmoils, because I had went through so much picking the wrong men, because I had went through so much with ugly people, I just want to deal with a foundation that helps me get back to who I am as a woman and an individual. And I pray you guys, by me being truthful with you, you can realize what's going on and you can be truthful with yourself too. And know that everything happens for a reason. Don't doubt it. Just know everything's happened for a reason. And know that God has a bigger purpose for you. So if you sit up here and your spirit say go right, you be like, oh, no, I'm going to go left. You should go with what your spirit said, because God's always warning you, or already warning you, to take another path. It's just that you got to be connected with yourself to listen. So to that, you guys, I'm getting ready to go. I love you guys very much. I would stay longer, but I have a meeting I have to go to. God bless you guys. Take care. I really enjoyed this opening up and being honest. I thank everybody who joined me today. Again, please share this. If you want to leave any questions or comments, you can email me at bornagainversion53@gmail.com. You can email me at civilrightsactivistessieberry@gmail.com. Or you can call or you can text 747-248-6433. 747-248-6433. May God bless you guys. Take care. And I'll see y'all next Sunday at 2 o'clock.